Now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. The election is less than 2 weeks away. That's right, 2 weeks from today. Hopefully we can wake up and find a new president, a way to dig ourselves out of the hole. And what's fascinating about this election is that no one seems to be voting for McCain. No, I'm not just talking about the fact that Barack Obama is ahead in the polls from 5 to 10 points, depending on which poll you read. No, I'm talking about the fact that McCain supporters aren't voting for McCain. They're voting against Obama. I don't think it's surprising that at Obama rallies, people are shouting, "Obama, Obama." It's a great feeling. I myself heard Barack Obama give his acceptance speech on a beautiful evening in Denver, and we all shouted that as well. But perhaps what's more surprising is at the McCain rallies, no one shouts, "McCain, McCain," or even "Maverick." No, they shout, "Nobama, Nobama." Now, admittedly, Obama has a better ring for a chant than McCain, but I do find it interesting. This has become an election not Obama versus McCain, but Obama versus Nobama. And let's face it, the Republicans are big on Nobama. They're not big on John McCain, but they love Nobama. Who is Nobama? Well, Nobama, I guess, is a Muslim, is a terrorist, is a socialist, hangs out, pals around with terrorists. And I've heard a really dirty rumor. Nobama is black. That's right. Rumors have it that Nobama, the mythical creature that Republicans are trying to create, is some angry black man who's going to take away your rights. In fact, Nobama's wife, Michelle, we are told, once said something about Whitey. Now, they can't prove it, and they don't have any coverage of her saying it, audio or video, and she denies it. But Sean Hannity will swear to it. So it must be true. Rush Limbaugh heard someone say that it was true. Must be true. And where are the sources of all these rumors? The Republican Party. The amazing thing is they're not even hiding it. Karl Rove had the decency, and this may be the first time that I've ever used the word decency and Karl Rove in the same sentence. Karl Rove had the decency, when he smeared John McCain as having a illegitimate black baby in 2000, to hide his fingerprints. We know it was him, but you never could quite prove it. In 2004, when the Swift Boat Liars challenged John Kerry's medals, note that no one's ever challenged John McCain's medals because Democrats don't do that. We respect his service, even though we hate his politics. When that challenge happened, when the Swift Boat Liars came around, even though the same lawyer happened to work for Swift Boat and for the Republican Party, a guy by the name of Doug Ginsburg, he fired himself. And we could see Karl Rove's fingerprints all over it, but could never quite trace it to him. John McCain and Sarah Palin, I guess, just don't have the finesse. The finesse of a Karl Rove. Because we're now finding out that all those nasty rumors, and to call them a rumor really gives it more truth than it is. It's really libel or slander. In other words, these are not things that people believe to be true, but things people know to be false. Oh, Bob Kincaid is letting me know that there's a tape of an address where Michelle Obama says what he, I guess talking about Obama, what he wanted to do, and the paranoid freaks translated as Whitey. Thanks for that, Bob. I didn't know that. I didn't know that, where that came from. But what I do know is that there was a recent Pew Research poll, and they found that 16% of McCain supporters, one in six of the people voting for McCain, believe Obama is Muslim, even today, even after all this has been in the news, even after John McCain himself said in response to a woman who suggested that Obama was an Arab, He said, no, ma'am, he's a decent family man. No, he's not an Arab. He's a decent family man. He couldn't possibly be an Arab. We all know those aren't decent family people. He is, therefore he's not an Arab. Thanks, John McCain, for that wonderfully bigoted vote of confidence for Barack Obama. But even though John McCain has personally denied the rumor, a Pew Research poll found 1 in 6 McCain supporters believe Obama is Muslim. And what percentage of Republicans say Obama's Christian? 47%. Not bad. Almost half. A majority of Republicans deny the man's Christian. At the same time as they attack him for his reverend in his Christian church. Wonder how they handle that. Wondered how conservatives handle illogic. I mean, how do they say to themselves, he has an awful, terrible, angry black Christian preacher, but he's not Christian. Do they just think Reverend Wright worked in a mosque? I don't know how they work it. But what we do know is the sources of these rumors. For example, my home state of Tennessee, its Republican Party issued a press release about Barack Hussein Obama, showing him in Muslim garb. But that, frankly, is subtle compared to the Clark County, Washington Republican Party. Clark County is a fairly major county in Washington state. It borders Portland, Oregon. They openly declared on their website, quote, Barack Hussein Obama has joined the United Church of Christ in an attempt to downplay his Muslim background. It is reported that Obama swore his oath of office using the Quran. They go on to say, this is chilling information about a candidate for the highest office in the country, especially given the radical Muslim claims that they will destroy America from the inside. Be afraid. Obama is a very dangerous person. Plus, there may well be Americans that remember some kind of black man putting his hand on the Quran and swearing an oath to office. That's because there was one. His name is Congressman Keith Ellison, and he is, gasp, a Muslim. That's right. In fact, I think he's the first Muslim to serve in the United States Congress. I know he's the only one. I think he's the first. And yes, he put his hand on a Quran because that's what he worships. But first of all, he ain't Barack Obama. And secondly, there's nothing wrong with that. Are Americans so ignorant that they can't see the difference between someone being a Muslim or someone being an Arab and someone being a radical Islamic terrorist? Maybe so. Maybe they just get confused. Maybe they don't understand that the vast majority of Muslims are peaceful. Do we really have to repeat this? Apparently we do. Apparently we do. It's funny because Americans can make differences among Christians. They do seem to understand the difference between an evangelical and a fundamentalist and between a Protestant and a Catholic. And they seem to know the difference between the holy rollers who, you know, use snakes and speak in tongues and, congregationalists who give to liberal causes. They seem to know the difference. But they seem to believe that all Muslims are Osama bin Laden. Even John McCain. Even John McCain, who said, Barack Obama's not an Arab. He's a decent family man. Think about it. He was trying to be nice. He was trying to counteract the people at his rallies. People had complained. People like me, people in the media, beyond me, had shown the clips of people at McCain-Palin rallies, and frankly, they're even more at Palin rallies than McCain rallies, shouting terrorist when she talked about Obama, shouting kill him. And of course, she never did anything to temper those remarks. She's the one who said that Obama was palling around with terrorists. So there was criticism in the mainstream press. And finally, after a week or two of criticism, McCain decided to take the microphone away from the crazy woman who called Barack Obama an Arab. Now, to be clear, 6 months earlier, when a woman in his town hall meeting said of Hillary Clinton, quote, "How do we beat the bitch?" unquote. He wasn't heard saying, you know, "I disagree with Hillary Clinton, but I wouldn't use that kind of language. She's a very respected colleague. We've worked together on some things. We just happen to disagree." No. He just smiled, laughed even, and then said how he would beat Hillary Clinton. But this woman, the woman who looked very confused, as I'm sure she was, she probably watches the Fox propaganda channel all day. That's enough to make anyone go crazy. When she said, you know, "I heard Barack Obama's an Arab," we had John McCain respond, no, ma'am, no, he's a decent family man. He's not an Arab. He's a decent family man. I hope we've set that straight. He couldn't be an Arab. He's a decent family man. It's the same kind of rhetoric that had Sarah Palin talk about the pro-America areas of America when she was down in small towns in North Carolina. I guess that if we're outside a small town, we're not pro-America. But my point is this. These rumors are not merely stuff that, oh, the Nazi Party or the Ku Klux Klan or Aryan Nations is putting out. There are always going to be radical, crazy people, and we got some on the left as well, I don't deny that, who say all kinds of strange, wild things. And a smart political operative, evil though he is, no one has ever accused Karl Rove of being dumb. He's a very smart, evil man. Smart political operatives know how to create plausible deniability, you see. They don't have the candidate say these awful things, or the vice presidential candidate. No, they have some low life that they can distance themselves from, like the Swift Boat liars. The funny thing is about McCain and Palin is they seem to be so stupid or so clueless that they remind me of a kid trying out for a play reading the stage directions. Have you noticed this? In Palin's debate, when they ask her a question she doesn't want to answer, instead of doing what most politicians do, which is talk all around the question and mention a couple words from it and then veer off into whatever they want to talk about, Palin openly set her stage directions. "I don't have to answer your questions and I won't." Ooh. No. Palin, that's the stage directions. Dear, you're not supposed to read that. Didn't they train you that in your parrot camp? She's going to have to go back to Sessions again. The same is true with the terrible things they're spreading about Barack Obama. You're not supposed to claim he's a socialist. You're supposed to let others claim that while you just sort of nod and say, well, you know, that's for the American people to decide. It's sad, really. It's sad. I mean, here they're trying to be as evil as possible, and it's just not working for them. It's not just the Tennessee Republican Party. It's not just the Clark County, Washington Republican Party. Oh, we have the chairman of the Otero County, New Mexico Republican Women, who wrote a letter to the local newspaper. Now, I don't know how she thought this wouldn't be publicized. She wrote a letter to a local newspaper saying he's a Muslim socialist. You know what's really wild, Nora? I'm getting this compilation of all these facts from the conservative Wall Street Journal. That's how bad it's gotten. When one of the most right-wing newspapers in the United States, a respected one, but right-wing nonetheless, I mean, the Wall Street Journal's not crazy, they're just very right-wing. When they start wondering about the smears, you know the Republicans have gone too far. When the right-wing Chicago Tribune endorses its first Democrat in at least a generation or two, you know they've gone too far. But it's right there. It's all over the website. You know, there's Newsmax and all the different right-wing smear things. Was Obama a Muslim? Obama lying about his Muslim past? Blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on and on. Human Events, a conservative publication, published an essay. Our first Muslim president? Question mark. Fox Propaganda Channel ran allegations that Obama went to a madrasa. Which, if it means he went to a Muslim religious school, is absolutely false. And if it means he went to a school in Indonesia when he lived there that was a public school that happened to have a majority of Muslims, because after all, Indonesia is a Muslim-majority country, it's not even that interesting. Hey, I went to majority Christian schools my entire life, but I'm not a Christian. Really? I'm not. I don't, you know, and they never, and I never said I went to a church school. I went to public schools. I went to private schools. They were all majority Christian, and yet I'm not a Christian. I don't know how they possibly explain it. It goes on and on and on. Floyd Brown, was Barack Obama ever a Muslim? There's always Jerome Corsi, the great libelist who argued in Obama Nation that he's got extensive connections. Sean Hannity, this just goes on and on. Ann Coulter, Rush Limbaugh, I don't have to go through all this. The point is that they're going on and on and on about this because they can't say the obvious, what they want to say. Don't vote for Obama because he's black. People say it, and they say it quietly, but they don't want to say it out loud. It was interesting, a poll done by Rasmussen Reports, a conservative polling organization of my home state, where I grew up, of Tennessee, said that 29% of Tennesseans knew someone who was not voting for Obama because of his race. That's one in three, just about. And these are the ones they admitted to a pollster. Now, to be clear, many of the people who are racist enough not to vote for Obama are Republicans anyway. Let's face it, Republicans have had the racist vote ever since Richard Nixon decided to go with the Southern strategy and peeled away the Dixiecrats to create the modern Republican Party. But it seems to me that Muslim and terrorist and socialist, these are things that are meant to uniquely apply to an African American, or to be fair, a half African American. Maybe not the socialist part. Maybe they did call Kerry a socialist. I don't remember. But that's another one that's interesting too, right? A socialist. What is a socialist? Well, I mean, a socialist is the idea that you should give everyone a chance to succeed. Maybe go further. Maybe go further. Okay, I'll go further. Socialism is more than equal opportunity, which I support. True socialism may suggest that everyone gets equal treatment. That's why I'm not a true socialist, nor is Barack Obama. But you ever notice that no one seems to complain when the government bails out the super rich? Not just the bailout plans, not just the nationalization of the oil companies. How about 8 years ago, 7 years ago, when President Bush decided to redistribute the wealth from the poor to the rich very openly, very openly? He cut taxes for the rich and put us all in debt that we all have to pay back. Indeed, all Barack Obama's doing, in fact, it's not very socialist at all, is returning us to the tax rates that existed under Bill Clinton, and even he is only doing that for those that make more than $250,000 a year. Why is it that redistributing wealth from rich to poor is considered socialism, and redistributing wealth from the poor to rich is considered what? Trickle-down economics? Voodoo economics? I got to tell you, people really believe this stuff. I mean, it may sound ridiculous to you and to me, but I have talked with a lot of conservatives. I've talked with a lot of McCain supporters. I know a few of them. I've been on radio shows where they call in, and I haven't heard a single one say, "I'm voting for McCain." Because McCain, blah, blah, blah. No, they say, "I am voting against Obama." And that's okay. You know, I mean, we have elections that are referenda on people. I think 2004 would have been a referendum on Bush, but they made it a referendum on Kerry. It seems that the Republicans always want to focus on our candidate rather than theirs. But how is it that Barack Obama is a socialist? He hangs out with Warren Buffett, who's willing to pay more taxes, right? He seems to understand that when you regulate credit default swaps, it helps the entire economy. Is that socialist? Is that socialist, regulating the super rich so that they don't plunge our entire economy into massive debt? There was a study done. Let me find out who did the study. I don't have it in front of me. Some economist. I apologize. But he found that in the last 29 years, some $600 billion was transferred from the bottom 80% of Americans to the top 1%. One in 100 Americans are $600 billion richer. That's not including the recent bailout bill or any of this stuff. And the bottom 80% are $600 billion poorer. Heck, I didn't know the bottom 80% had $600 billion to give away, but apparently they did. And they do. And they have. Does anyone complain about reverse socialism? Does anyone understand that success in America is not entirely based on talent? Look, I'm a firm believer in a meritocracy, and there are some people who can still achieve the American dream. Perhaps the clearest example of that is a certain guy by the name of Barack Obama, whose mother was on food stamps for a time. And nevertheless, through hard work and, let's face it, a bunch of intelligence and a little bit of luck, managed to graduate from the best schools in the nation, become editor of the Harvard Law Review, and is now currently our most likely next president. I'll give you another one, Bill Clinton. Right? Single mother, stepfather was an alcoholic, abusive upbringing. By dint of hard work, he made it. Yes, you can achieve the American dream. That's true. But for a lot of folks, it's really difficult. And it's fascinating to me that someone like John McCain or George Bush, who have made it only by dint of their father and grandfather and not by any effort on their own, people who only got into decent schools because of their father and grandfather, did very badly in there, that they're the ones who are arguing about socialism. Don't they see reverse socialism? Don't they see that they have achieved something not because of their merit, but solely because of their name? Does anyone complain about affirmative action for rich white people? Apparently not. I see Gene is on the line. Gene, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
You said something that I have to say I disagree with.
Okay.
Okay. Now, understand, let me preface this by saying that in my line of work, I've done a lot of studying on religions and that kind of thing, and you said that there's a difference between evangelicals and fundamentalists. Now, I'm aware of the emergent church.
Okay, I apologize. Let me apologize before you even catch me on it. I don't think there's a major difference between evangelicals and fundamentalists. I was thinking between evangelicals and fundamentalists and liberal Christian groups was what I meant to say. So I apologize if I misspoke. But go ahead.
That was my point, because as far you know, I've studied this. I've seen there are liberal, supposedly quote unquote liberal evangelicals. You know, there's been a lot made on there. Their green contributions and that kind of thing, and now on their social endeavors. But I honestly don't really see, I think in this one aspect, and this, I guess this is why I can still think of myself as a left-wing conservative, is that they say, yeah, there's a difference, but, you know, I haven't seen it. I don't know denial or a rebuke or an actual anything to really set the liberal emergent church movement apart from the conservative Christians. And I think
I would argue that fundamentalists of virtually any faith are dangerous to the extent that a fundamentalist believes in taking a religious text literally. And believes that there's nothing left for interpretation, there's nothing left for change. I don't care whether they're Christian, Jewish, Muslim, or Hindu, you find, I think, that the most radical of the religions and the most dangerous people in terms of intolerance, in terms of violence, always seems to come from the people who believe there's no leeway, that nothing changes, nothing's left for interpretation, that, you know, my God says kill you. It's kind of hard to argue with those people. So, I think that's pretty consistent across religions.
I don't disagree with you. It's just that here's how I feel about this. If the liberal Christian movements don't do something to actually confront the conservative Christians, Christianity as a whole is going to be stuck with this moniker of fundamentalist, conservative, literalist belief systems. And it's always amazed me if conservative Christians really looked at their own belief systems, if they love Christ and Christianity like they say they do, would they necessarily want the entire movement plastered, thinking that obviously they're dedicated to their beliefs, I understand, but I mean, gee.
I'll tell you, Gene, Christianity is named for Jesus Christ,
yeah.
And Jesus was quite a radical. Not only did he believe in overturning the established order, but he said it was easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. He threw the money changers out of the temple. He hung out with lepers and prostitutes. I guarantee you, if there was a person like Jesus around today, he would be shunned by the Christian fundamentalist evangelicals. I mean, can you imagine? If there were such a man today, he'd probably have AIDS and hang out with prostitutes and gay people and so forth. And be homeless and be asking for shelter, and he'd be attacked by the fundamentalists as being, get a job.
He'd be an Acorn member.
Well, probably. But I got to tell you, Gene, I take partial issue with what you say. I do think there are liberal Christian groups that are striving very hard to retrieve the name of Christianity. And Jim Wallace is probably the most famous. But it's not just him. I read the other day, and I don't have the bishop's name with me, but about a Catholic bishop, and this I think will surprise many people because the Catholic Church obviously is a fairly conservative institution, but who talked about the fact that he believed in supporting Obama because while he disagreed with Obama about abortion, he said there are many, many things in our faith apart from being against abortion. And on matters like war and poverty and immigration, he said that he felt the Catholic doctrine was a lot closer to Barack Obama than it was to John McCain. And I got to tell you, my mouth dropped. But he's right. He's absolutely right. My mouth dropped because he said it out loud. And you don't find a lot of people. In fact, one of the reasons I think Catholics were harder, and I should, when I say Catholics, I really mean the Catholic Church and the established, I don't mean the laity, but was harder on John Kerry than on Barack Obama is because John Kerry's Catholic. And so I think they actually held him to a higher standard. Now, of course, Joe Biden's Catholic too, but, he's the vice presidential nominee. I think they seem to give a little more leeway for non-Catholics to be pro-choice. And what this bishop said, and I really need to get his name for you, but what he said is that, look, Barack Obama's plan would lead to fewer abortions, in his view, than John McCain's, because John McCain's plan is simply to appoint another justice, overturn Roe v. Wade, and then it will be on a state-by-state basis, since, some states will ban abortion and other states won't. He said Obama's plan, which, believes in such decidedly un-Catholic things as teaching about birth control, believes in teaching children, as Obama put it, that, sex can be sacred, that it's not something to be just sort of thrown away, this sort of conservative idea that, you shouldn't just be having sex and babies, you should be, with someone you love, that these kinds of ideas can decrease abortions more than just waiting for Justice Stevens to die and overturning Roe v. Wade. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, I suppose, maybe, you kind of convinced me a little bit, because I remember reading there's a debate going on right now with what's called open communion. And apparently right. The liberal Episcopal Church is a promoter of this, or at least some of them are, which basically says that if you're welcome to take communion if you're a member or not of the Episcopal Church or even a non-believer. And I suppose that there is where I see liberal Christianity coming through. But
I guess what I'm telling you, Gene, is I both agree and disagree with you. I agree with you that liberal Christians need to reclaim their faith, but I disagree with you that they're not trying. I see lots of evidence. I mean, I look at this huge battle going on right now in the Episcopal Church when they the Americans nominated a gay bishop in New Hampshire. And a few churches, but they're the minority, are breaking away and joining the Nigerian church because, you know, gosh knows we want to be just like some of the conservative people over there.
Yeah.
I mean, the same people who'd be racist in their ordinary life say, oh, but Africans hate gay people. Oh, well, so we'll be pro-Africa now. But the point is that I don't want to give up the fight. I see liberal Christians, just like there are liberal Muslims. Now, actually, I think liberal Muslims have a harder battle, frankly, than even liberal Christians. But there are people who are speaking out against the fundamentalism in their faith. In my religion, you know, the Reform Movement, Jews have been, you know, 90% of Jews are not Orthodox in the United States, and even some of the Orthodox are not as fundamentalist as some of the worst ones. So I think it's going on in every religious movement. And I don't want to while I agree with you it needs to be encouraged, I don't want to discourage the liberal Christians who really are actively working in virtually every denomination to gain back their faith, and I applaud them for it.
I suppose I wish I think what leaves me with the impression that there is no real difference between evangelicals and fundamentalists is, of course, you know, like I quoted the Open Communion movement or a few other things that I've seen. I've had to dig for that kind of information. You don't see that on the mainstream media at all, unfortunately.
Well, I think there's a reason for that. I think because the right wing, the Republican Party, the theocrats, the Sarah Palins of the world, the Mike Huckabees, the Jerry Falwells, they all have a vested interest in using language, and they use it very well. Remember, they're the ones who changed the estate tax to the death tax. They're the ones that caused liberal to be a dirty word, so dirty that most of us call ourselves progressives these days. So even we kind of buy into it. That they have tried to equate Christian with right-wing Republican, as if Christian was for cutting capital gains tax cuts. Capital gains taxes. I don't think Jesus ever spoke in the New Testament about capital gains taxes. Someone will have to show for me. You know, as if Christian meant, you know, a view on abortion, which, you know, it may now, but it certainly didn't 2,000 years ago. They have stolen that moniker, and I very much support people putting it back because there are many liberal, tolerant Christians. I should note that Catholics have generally chosen the president of the United States in America. They're only about 20-25% of the population. But if you note, Catholics went for George Bush they even chose Al Gore in 2000, so they've been accurate all the times. They went for Bush in 04. They went for Gore, the popular vote and electoral vote winner, in 2000. They went for Clinton in the 90s, and they went for Reagan and Bush before that. And what's interesting to me is, of course, I worked for Congressman Barney Frank in Massachusetts, an openly gay man who represents a very Catholic district in Massachusetts. It's actually – Massachusetts is a very Catholic state, and it was more than one-third Catholic. And the most blue states in the country, the most liberal states in the country, are probably Massachusetts and Rhode Island, maybe Vermont too. But in Massachusetts and Rhode Island, they've got 35-40% Catholics. Catholics tend to be, in the United States of America, more liberal than Protestants. Now, certainly not all of them. We've got 5 members of the Supreme Court who are Catholic and who are the most right-wing there. So certainly not all of them. But I think because Catholics are a minority in the United States, rather than majority, and they have been persecuted against, that leads to more liberal feelings. And so, you know, I think it's very important not to – that's why you don't see me doing quite as much – and Bob may come in and defend himself in half an hour, which is his right. But I don't do as much I want to use the right word because I'm going to get in trouble with Bob. But let's just say I don't mock, or I try not to mock, Christianity per se or Catholicism per se. You know, mocking a particular preacher or an evangelical, I have no problem with. But I'm not going to mock the whole religion, at least when I can help it. Now, I'm not a Christian, so every now and then I may say something that's offensive. But that's not my goal. I don't believe in mocking Christians. I don't believe in attacking Christians, per se. I believe in attacking fundamentalists of all faiths.
Mm. Well, with that, I will let you go, but I just had to throw that in there.
No, I appreciate it. It led to a very good discussion, and I'm glad you did. And I'm not advocating for Christianity. I see, you know, if you're atheist or agnostic or Hindu or Buddhist or Muslim or Jewish or you name it. I have a friend who is so against creationism that he tells me he believes in the flying spaghetti monster because there's as much chance the flying spaghetti monster created the universe, as much proof, he says, as God. So that's okay with me, too. My view is as long as you don't harm anybody, believe whatever you want to believe. You know, as long as you don't teach hate, as long as you don't teach that's my view. Hey, thanks for your call, Gene. I appreciate it. Let me give out the numbers if you want to call in, too. It's 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. I'm going to take a little break. Be right back after this.
Welcome to Seton Notes. I'm Tony Seton with some observations on the news. First, the young man who was condemned to death for reportedly downloading information from the Internet on women's rights in Islam had his sentence commuted to 20 years in prison. That was in the Democracy of Afghanistan. His family is pleading with Hamid Karzai for a pardon. Second, speaking of primitive, geologists working a site along the Arizona-Utah border have discovered what they call a rich new set of clues about dinosaurs that inhabited the area 190 million years ago. In a region that was once desert with few oases, they found what they are calling a dinosaur dance floor because there are more than 1,000 tracks in a 3/4-acre site. One anthropomorphizing researcher said he thought the early Jurassic dinosaurs were, quote, happy to be at this place, having wandered up and down many a sand dune, exhausted from the heat and the blowing sand, relieved and happy to come to a place where there was water. Third, the Republican vice presidential campaign announced that it couldn't have been dinosaurs dancing in Utah because the Earth wasn't created until 189,994,000 years later. They say most everything earlier is just BS before Sarah. Okay, I made that one up, mostly. Fourth, an investigation by the Associated Press raised other issues about Palin, namely that in addition to filing padded expense forms for working at home, she also probably dinged the state of Alaska more than $21,000 she shouldn't have for taking her children on the road with her. Fifth, the AP had a story about the San Francisco 49ers firing head coach Mike Nolan, saying he was, quote, the dapper coach whose teams never played as well as he dressed. And that's Seton Notes. For more, go to SETONNOTES.com. I'm Tony Seton.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The toll-free number is 877-4HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. You know, I feel kind of like in those debates where you have Obama say something about McCain, or much more often, McCain say something about Obama, and they give them the right of reply. They do this in Congress, too. You know, someone talks about someone, they say, hey, I get my right of reply. Well, I've been talking about Bob Kincaid, so I think it's only fair that I invite him on to give him his right of reply. Here's what I was arguing. I think, and it may be more a question of tone than belief. I don't know that Bob and I have any different beliefs on this, but I do think in tone I'm more tolerant of Christians, ironically, since I'm not one and wasn't raised as one, than he is. But I'm going to give him a chance to respond. Go ahead, Bob. That's a Palin response.
Well, yes, it's fashionable right now. when it comes right down to it, you know what I am, Mark?
Besides a Pastafarian?
I am a Pastafarian, absolutely. In the great beyond, I'm looking forward to my beer volcano and my stripper factory.
Okay.
I believe that he created the earth and that he started with a tree, a mountain, and a dwarf.
Okay.
Yes, and when I close my prayers,
where did the meatballs come from? I mean, as a Pastafarian, there should be a special place in heaven for those.
Well, true. But when the creation took place, it all centers on pirates. You know, we've got global warming because the Earth has gotten warmer as we've had less pirates in the world. I find it utterly reasonable.
Okay.
Pirates, absolutely, absolutely.
Sure.
You haven't studied my faith, have you? You're mocking my faith.
No, I'm not mocking it. I just haven't studied it.
Oh, ye of little faith.
But I love pasta. I think I'd be a great pastafarian.
Well, you know, it's communion all the time, and you know,
you eat the body of your God.
Darn straight. You know, I mean, it's not any good. No, in all seriousness, what I am is a real Protestant. A real Protestant. I protest all the hooey and the phony baloney and the hokey, the bunkum of ignorant, benighted superstition.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. Well, I guess I do. Let me tell you where I have a problem with that. Basically, I divide superstition and religion and beliefs into two categories. I say where it harms people, you got to stop it. You know, you can mock it, you can criticize it, whatever. If they want to teach creationism in the schools, I'm going to be against that. But if they want to teach it in their churches, I'm not. I kind of will just leave them alone. It kind of reminds me, you know,
I don't
and hang out with their friends, and so what? That
yeah,
I don't
I'm not a rotten person.
God died of a virgin.
I don't run around whispering in 5-year-olds, "Hey kid, there's no real Santa." I don't do that. And see, that's the thing. The traditional Christians are like 5-year-olds. You know, Yeshua said, have the faith of a little child, not the brains of one.
For the record, I did tell my entire first grade class there was no Santa Claus. But I was 6 at the time, and I wouldn't do it again.
Because you're mean. You're mean, Mark.
I regret it. I wouldn't do it again, okay? I apologize.
But
I did have a couple of kids crying. It was bad. I didn't realize the effect it would have.
Oh, forgive him, Father, for he knew not what he did.
But I do apologize. And
But I mean, really, I mean, 6 days a week, you walk around and you live in a rational world, but on the seventh, you go in a building and you have to believe that an invisible God raped a little teenage girl to bring the world his son. Because, I mean, it was clearly without Miriam's consent. Nobody asked
first. I disagree with you about the facts. You know I'm not a Christian. But I do recognize that there are many people who get solace in their faith and who are not harming anybody. The ones that are harming, I'll join you. But like I said, if 83-year-old Margaret has gone to church every week and believes it and believes she's going to go to heaven and takes out her rosary beads and doesn't go around harming anybody, I'm not going to attack her faith. I'll leave her alone. That's you know.
But it's not the individual. It's not the individual faith. It's the collective evil, Mark. I mean, I asserted on this program, and I still hold that it's true that probably everybody within the reach of our voice, if they trace their family lineage back far enough, had someone murdered by the church.
Okay.
Because but the numbers are just too huge. So the little harmless little old lady who does her rosary beads and believes that when she eats the cracker it turns into Jesus meat in her belly, no, she's not doing anybody any individual harm, but she is empowering worldwide hatred and murder and death. I mean, I understand the ancient world, so do you.
I'm not going to blame her for that. I'm not going to blame her for that.
So she,
you want to talk about the Catholic Church or Jerry Falwell or whatever, that's fair game. Those are big
but
people.
Those people are empowered by the simple-minded. Just as children sort of indirectly empower the massive consumer orgy that we're about to undergo every year called Christmas. Only thing is,
now you've just proven Bill O'Reilly right. You're about to attack Christmas.
I attack Christmas all the time, and I think it's always a good day to attack Christmas.
Destroy Christmas. Yeah, we're gonna have to have a Fox program on you, Bob, because clearly, you're a very dangerous.
But I mean, you know your ancient history, Mark.
I do.
You know that in order to get your religion really, really going. You know that you had to have a savior born of a virgin, whether it's Mithras or whether it's Osiris or golly, Ned, everybody was born of a virgin. You know, Leda and the swan. You know, Zeus appearing in bestiality, animal sex, and
Marduk, who was split in half and became heaven and earth. But what harm do these creation myths do if you're not trying to teach them as science?
Because sooner or later somebody's going to want to leverage it to kill people.
No, wait a minute. Tibetan Buddhists, or in the Christian tradition, Quakers, despite Richard Nixon, there are peaceful pacifists.
Not despite Richard Nixon, Richard Nixon.
Okay, but he wasn't bad because he was a Quaker. He was bad because he was bad and happened to be a Quaker. And Tibetan Buddhists, I get to choose.
Look at the Hindus who cherish life probably more than anybody else on earth. You know, they let their cattle live with them in their homes. All right.
There are some radical Hindus.
They're rioting, and the Christians and the Hindus are needling each other in India, and the Hindus are running around burning down stuff. A year or so ago, the Jainists, a Jain, if a mosquito lands on a Jain won't kill it. They were burning down people's restaurants because they served meat a couple of years ago in India.
But Bob, what I think you're doing is something that you would never do with any other group. You're to an entire group of people, the actions of a few. Most Hindus
because the
are
entire
not
group,
violent.
The entire
most
group violent. Empowers the weirdos. I mean, they just do. I mean, if the papacy hadn't had millions and millions of pounds or marks or francs or livres or whatever in the Middle Ages, would they have been able to compel the slaughter and the pogroms?
No.
No. Where did the money come from? Ultimately, it came from peasants telling rosary beads, digging in the dirt.
All that is true. I'm not going to deny any religion's violent past. But they're not all violent now. And I guess part of my concern is it's the same kind of thing that says, aha, there are some radical Islamic fundamentalists, which there are, who are very dangerous and terrorists, which there are. Therefore, if you're an Arab, you're not a decent family man. I mean, I think you're blaming Christians.
Turn the Rubik's Cube 90 degrees, okay? There are radical violent humans.
Right.
Because we are humans.
And they belong to all faiths.
And they belong to all faiths. But because of organized religion, instead of taking those violent, hate-filled, murderous thugs out and doing to them what deserves to be done to violent, hate-filled, murderous thugs, we have to pussyfoot around and be careful because, you know, we don't want to, oh my goodness, you know, he was motivated by his religion. Oh dear. No, and see, they hide behind it. You know, come on. Osama bin Laden hides behind his religion.
Of course he does. And but, you know, the
so
Nazis
does,
hung out.
So does Pastor Hagee. And
the communists, too. So you can have dangerous, violent thugs of any particular faith or belief, and they're always going to hide behind something. And it seems to me that you can call them out and say there is a difference between Osama bin Laden and your ordinary Muslim. There is a difference between Jerry Falwell or the popes that ran the Crusades and, you know, your ordinary Christian leader. To me, it's separating the thugs from the ordinary people that is precisely the moral choice, and I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm not going to blame all Christians because of what the Pope did.
But that's why I say I'm a real Protestant. I protest the phony baloney, and if I'm going to follow anything, now see, this is one of those places where I have to acknowledge I'm engaging in belief. I believe Yeshua in some form actually existed.
I do too.
I don't think he was born of a virgin anymore. Because virgins, unless he was a shark, parthenogenesis doesn't happen.
But that's history. I believe in Julius Caesar existed too. I believe Cleopatra existed. I believe that Jesus of Nazareth existed. I believe
he set out to turn the world on its ear, or at least the chunk of the world he was in.
Yeah, there were many radical revolutionaries in that period. He was one of them. That's right.
Yeah, but. What happens, Mark, if you study the origins of Christianity, and I would, if you haven't already, and I imagine you may have, I would gladly refer you to both Dr. Bart Ehrman, who's been on my program, and
I really like Bart Ehrman.
Oh, darn it.
Amy Levine.
She wrote the Gnostic Pagels, Elaine Pagels. Both of them are good introductions. But what happens is there's a power struggle, and as usual, it turns out to be over money and control.
Right.
In the early days of the Jesus movement, which at the time was called nothing more than the Way.
Right.
And the people who won were the people who wanted to turn it into a death cult. And, I mean, these are just facts.
Well, and they wanted to turn it into a very powerful organization that they would control.
No. It was a death cult. In other words, it was a cult centered not on the life of Yeshua, the itinerant, wandering, day laborer rabbi.
Right.
It was not about his life anymore.
No, that's true. It's about his death.
That's how you can get a multimillionaire like Creflo Dollar or Kenneth Copeland or Jimmy Swaggart or any of these, the John Hagee or Rod Parsley, all these multimillionaires. That's how they can stand up in the pulpit as rich as Croesus himself and preach violence in the name of Jesus. Because the religion was turned into a death cult where what happened in your life didn't matter. What happened at your death did, and they worship the martyrs, and they worship the death of Christ instead of the life. I mean, I can march you into any number of churches, Mark, and you'll not hear a word out of Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John, with the exception of the business about his murder. But they will preach till the rafters shake on the sayings of Paul, or the more hateful portions, as you know, of your side of the book, the Old Testament.
Bob, I'm not disputing anything you say. I'm really not. I'm agreeing with everything you say.
So that's
but
what I am. I mean,
day,
when I study and try to live, I mean, just to clear things up, when I study and I try to live my life, I try, to the extent possible, to model it after people who have tried to change the world. Jesus. The Buddha. And, you know, there's a lot of argument, the conceivable argument out there, that Jesus got some of his teaching from the Buddha. Not directly, but indirectly. Jesus, the Buddha, Gandhi, Dr. King, the people who have said there is another way. We don't have to be the bloodthirsty monkeys dancing around the monolith and whacking each other with the bones.
Bob, here's my point. Right, I don't dispute anything you said. On the other hand, I think sometimes I maybe bow a bit more to practical reality sometimes. But sometimes I think you're more idealistic than I am, and that's saying a lot because I'm pretty idealistic. We live in a country where 75% or so call themselves Christian, 90% plus believe in God. We live in a country where the great majority of Americans are not bloodthirsty monsters. The great majority of Americans believe in Christianity, but don't believe in the Crusades, don't believe in the Inquisition, don't believe in some of the vicious, horrific, awful things that, many Christians did in the past. And so I think rather than trying to, you know, overturn all of Christianity, the right response is to do what I do with the Islamic faith, with my own faith, with any faith, and that is separate the monsters from the ordinary people who are living their lives for believing things that I personally don't believe in, but are really not harming anybody. And I kind of want to leave them alone. Not only do I want to leave them alone,
where,
I want to join with
and
them. If they want to help me with the environment, I'm all for it, even though we may disagree on abortion.
I'm not sure if it's tautological or epistemological, but that's where I have that's where you and I part company. Because I believe there's a tracery. Just as I believe that the ignorant person who leaves their lights on overnight contributes to the fact that my home is being destroyed. They have a responsibility. Their choices have consequences. And you can't, you know, the Southern Baptist Church cannot hide collectively from their role in the slaughter and occupation of Iraq. At least that's what I think Yeshua would say.
Well, maybe I want to fight one battle at a time. You know, I think that you have to fight the big battles first. You know, as they say, when the cup of milk is spilt, you write the cup before you clean up the milk. I want to.
What do you do if the milk was spoiled in the first place?
Okay, now my metaphor is.
Well, that's my job. Hey, Mark, we've only got a couple of minutes left, and I'll carry this over into my show if folks want to. But there's someone on the line, and hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Mark. It's Gene again.
Oh, hey, Gene.
Hello, hi. Gene.
Mark, you said something that I got to disagree with again. I can't think of any religion that doesn't have its share of fundamentalist nut jobs.
I think every religion does, but I also think non-religions do too. I don't think it's religious. I just think any group of humanity has its own nut jobs. Of any way you want to slice it, we got a few of us who are nut jobs.
But
so I don't blame religion for that. I blame humanity for that.
Well, yeah, but you see, now I'm debating with Rama right now in the chat about atheists and agnostics being crazy too,
some of them are.
Can't think of anything right offhand. But
Nazis anyway. And communists. We're both atheists and murdered.
Oh, now, I knew you were going to do that. You stop that. Stalin was trained in a Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox monastery. Hitler was confirmed Catholic and baptized.
That's true,
and Pol Pot was a Buddhist.
That they taught was atheist ideology. So they left their faith.
But the thing of it is, I'm going to argue, is basically I think it's the thought process that religion in particular seems to engender that if you could make a non-violent religion. I mean, I went to a humanist class on Monday night, and the guy went over the values and all kinds of stuff, and I had to say to him, because they're very liberal values, and I said, this is great, but what do you do when you have somebody who's not going to listen to reason and won't be educated and wants to do violence to you? And he said, well,
Gene, we're running out of time, and this will continue into Bob's show, I know. Let me just very briefly, I think that virtually every religion today is fighting within itself between the fundamentalists who tend to become dangerous and violent and liberals of all religions, whether it's Christianity, Muslim, or Judaism, or any other, who believe in not taking the scripture as law, as literal, but in reinterpreting it for the ages, and that many religions do teach you can question. And so I'm not willing to throw all religions out. I want to support liberal religion while castigating fundamentalist religion. And that's all I have to say, because I'm afraid we're about out of time, right, Bob?
That we are. We got to hit it. Gene, thank you very much, and everybody will continue this in the next hour. It is, after all, Prayer Meeting Wednesday.
There you go. Good timing.
All right. Bye now.
Call back.
Okay. See you, Mark.